From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I'm recording this on July 7th, 2020. I hope you had a nice July 4th holiday weekend. I have three studies that I wanted to go over with you today, all of them looking at vascular disease. One is a study looking at multivessel versus culprit-only revascularization in STEMI patients. A second looking at carotid atherosclerosis evolution in patients after TIA or stroke. And finally, a study looking at cardiovascular imaging techniques for microvascular dysfunction. So let's get started. The first paper is a very nice study in JACC intervention, which looked at the safety and efficacy of multivessel versus culprit vessel only PCI among patients presenting with a STEMI. The investigators conducted a search of published randomized controlled trials. They found 10 of them for the purposes of this study, which represented over 7,000 patients. There were roughly 3,500 patients in each group. Compared to the culprit vessel only PCI group, the multivessel PCI was associated with no significant difference in all-cause mortality, but there was a lower risk of reinfarction, relative risk 0.69, also cardiovascular mortality, relative risk 0.71, and repeat revascularization, dramatic reduction, relative risk 0.35. In terms of bleeding, stroke, and contrast-induced nephropathy, there were no significant differences between the two groups. This is a very well-done study compiling these 10 trials, and the authors concluded that multivessel PCI was associated with lower risk for reinfarction. There was not a difference in all-cause mortality in this analysis. Clearly, we do see patients who come in with a STEMI who we think have not only one hot plaque, but actually two or sometimes even three. So obviously, in those types of patients, the notion of doing complete revascularization versus culprit only makes all kinds of sense. And this study, I think, is a nice analysis suggesting that, for the moment at least, going ahead with multivessel PCI in appropriate patients makes sense. Now, there's an important caveat. The culprit shock trial showed that in patients who present with STEMI and shock, that actually multivessel PCI had an increase in mortality. So this analysis does not apply to patients who come in with STEMI complicated by shock. That's important to remember. Okay, let's move on. The next is a randomized trial that looked at carotid atherosclerosis evolution in patients who had a stroke or TIA. And the question was how low to target the LDL. The authors randomized patients, roughly 200 in each group, who'd had an ischemic stroke within 3 months or a TIA within 2 weeks. They had an indication for a statin, and they had either intracranial or extracranial cerebrovascular disease. The lower target group were treated with both statins and ezetimibe to an LDL target less than 70 milligrams per deciliter. The higher target group was allowed to have an LDL around 100. The investigators obtained carotid ultrasound at 2, 3, and 5 years, and the primary outcome was newly diagnosed carotid plaque. The second was evidence of common carotid artery intima media thickness progression. So 200 patients in each group, median follow-up about 3 years. The LDL was 64 in the low target group, 106 in the higher group. At 5 years, the rate of new carotid plaque in the lower target group was 26%, and in the higher target group, it was about 30%. That difference was not statistically significant. However, when they looked at a common carotid artery intimal media thickness, there was evidence of more regression or lack of progression in the group that had the more lower target LDL. So the authors concluded that a lower target group did have more regression of carotid artery intima medial thickness. They were not able to prove in this relatively small study that new carotid plaque was significantly reduced. Clearly a smallish study. If it had been powered at a much higher level, it's quite possible that the new carotid plaque formation would have been reduced in the lower target group. For now, this really doesn't change our practices. In stroke, thought to be due to atherosclerosis, the current recommendations are to target an LDL at or below 70 milligrams per deciliter and we should continue to do that for the current time until further imaging studies allow us more information on this. The last article I wanted to talk briefly about was a nice review that came out in JACC Imaging this week, and it's a study summarizing cardiovascular imaging for microvascular dysfunction. Obviously, the understanding of microvascular dysfunction is not nearly as great as in large epicardial disease. We know that this is a very broad term. It can apply to any pathology that affects the microvasculature. That could be endothelial dysfunction, coronary spasm, inflammation, smaller vessel atherosclerosis, or all of the above. We do have a number of imaging methods that are available to measure myocardial blood flow in this setting. So far, PET has the most clinical and prognostic data compared with the other modalities, but cardiac MR-derived myocardial blood flow measures are being increasingly used to assess clinical utility and the response to treatment. And we're developing a few algorithms for the clinical evaluation of microvascular angina and the diagnosis of same using PET as the primary diagnostic imaging modality. In the future, it's possible that CMR will allow more precise myocardial blood flow, and this may actually become very useful in at least some of these types of patients. Clearly, we need more studies and we need outcome studies comparing imaging findings, clinical phenotype, treatment, and outcomes in order to get more information. But I recommend this review to you. I think it's nicely done. It clearly, I think, establishes the role currently for PET to try to help us in these patients. And these are not uncommon. I recall a few years ago, we did a study here of about 4,000 patients at our hospital enrolled with ACS, and fully 12% of the women had minimal or no obstructive coronary disease, 6% of the men. So microvascular disease occurs in both men and women. It's surprisingly common and something that we need to push research for, both with imaging and also treatment. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View this week. We've covered three articles, one looking at PCI and STEMI, another looking at carotid atherosclerosis and response to LDL goals, and finally, a review of cardiovascular imaging techniques for microvascular dysfunction. I hope that you go online and look at these journal scans or links to the articles themselves. Also, for more updates on COVID, the COVID Hub is absolutely wonderful, and I recommend you go there and get the latest information on COVID-19 as it relates to our practices. Until then, I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. This is Kim Eagle. I'm out.